I want to go to 1 John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I pondered on that, and I thought, okay, what does that mean? Because you know how we pick up a Bible, we read it. Sometimes we just read it. Some of us actually study and pull out several different types of Bibles and dictionaries and whatever else, concordance and what have you, and we study and we try to figure out, what does that mean? What does that mean? He was the Word, and the Word was Him, and it was from the beginning. What does that mean? So as I kept reading, and I said, okay, so I got down to verse 14. So we're going to go to 1 John 1 and 14. I've been reading from up here. Okay. So the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory. We've been talking about that. The glory of the one and the only Son. One who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Sister Sandra said, did you say, who are we? My thing is, who is He? And so when she said that, I was like, okay. God on the same page. I got that. I feel that. And y'all, I'm real down to earth. So don't think I'm ghetto, but I'm real down to earth. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of the stuff I may ad-lib, but I'm going to ad-lib it because of time. But I encourage everybody to pick up their Bibles and read it. If you hear something I say to sound interesting, pick up your Bible and read it, because you'd be so surprised all you read in the Bible and all the amazing stuff you find when you read it, right? So in that verse, I was like, okay, well, I want to know, who is He? So I'm going to ask y'all probably through the whole thing, what's His name? And y'all going to tell me, who? Come on, y'all, we in church. His name is?
Jesus.
There you go. That's who we're here for, okay? So let me say this. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to perform. I'm only here to give the Word of God. The Word of God should live in all of us if we're believers, right? I want you as a Christian, as a believer, as a person of faith, to use your own faith, your own voice to acknowledge Him. Because why? Because number one, He's worthy. She said something I always say. Sister Sandra was on it this morning. I'm sorry, sis, I'm pointing you out all morning probably. She said He gives you breath and He can take it away by sucking it away. And I say the same thing all the time. It's because of Him that I'm standing today. He gave me breath this morning. And I take advantage of that, take every opportunity to praise Him, because He could have took it away. Because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Hello? Somebody didn't wake up. And not only that, I thank Him for the use of my limbs. I thank Him every morning for that, because somebody didn't wake up with the use of their limbs. And we need to know that it is Him. It ain't us. We don't have no control. We have not one bit of control over that. He's the one that does that. So we need to thank Him for it. People think that you got to be all exotic and big. No, you don't. God is a big God, but He hears little things, okay? And that's what we need to recognize, that don't ever think you're too above to give Him praise or glory. I thank Him when my water turn on. I thank Him when I get in the shower, because somebody didn't have no water this morning. Whether it was because they didn't pay the bill or because of the storm, it doesn't matter. But I thank God for everything, and y'all just don't know. Truly, I do. And like Pastor say, I don't play. I can't. Today ain't the day. Today you picked on the wrong one. And I will come up against Him, because I don't play with Him. And He know not to mess with me. And that's the way y'all should be as Christians. We supposed to be like that. You are not walking in my house, and you are not taking over my family or anything in this house. Matter of fact, you ain't taking over my money either. It may look tight, It may look rough, but you ain't in charge. Okay? You are not in charge. And when you start talking to the devil like that, then he begin to back up because he gets scared. Like, uh-oh, I'm moving back. You know, devil's a slick, y'all. But you got to talk to him like you mean it. Talk to him like when you get mad at somebody. What? Oh, no, not today. It ain't happening. So you got to stand your ground when you're talking to him. But anyway, so as I'm reading this and I'm like, okay, so this is God. This is, you know, we're talking about the Father here, Jesus. And I'm like, okay, so it says, you know, the Bible says, well, as I was researching, because I do my research, it says, declare the Son of God with power through his resurrection. I'm like, okay, declared. So I'm one of those people that if I read a word, don't quite, I mean, you know how you understand the word? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to go on and off with these glasses because y'all foggy without them. But I can see y'all with them. So sometimes I go, what is that word? So I'm gonna find out what that word means. So I'm looking up declare, and it says to make known, to make known. And sometimes we know words, but we don't use it in the same form that it's put. But if we break it down and we can use it in another form, it makes more sense sometimes, right? Sister Sandra said, would you say you graduated at 16? Same here, but that didn't do me no good, okay? So anyway, as I was going forth with that, I was like, okay, we know he has all power through resurrection, and that was the purpose. For what? So that we can have fellowship with Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and right? Okay, so then I said, okay, who is he? I know who he is. You know how you read your Bible, but I want to know who he is. And I started thinking, who is he? He's my Savior. He's my Savior. So it came to me. She hit on it again. It came to me and I said, we want to know who this man is. How many of us actually take out the time to find out who this man is? When we go on a date, when we meet somebody, we take out the time. We're going to sit at that dinner table. We're going to smile. We're going to ask all kind of questions. What's your name? Where you live? Right? All that kind of stuff. We're going to ask all kind of stuff. So I was like, you know what? I need to know. I need to know, Lord, exactly who you are. So I started thinking, if I can be in a relationship with a man, and I want to know everything about him, I should be in that same relationship with my Father and know all about him. So I'm real animated, y'all, so forgive me. I was like, okay, I want to know about you, Lord. So I want a connection with you because there's something about you I like. Because there's something about you that makes me feel all woo inside. I want to know. So I said, if I was talking to a natural man, I'm going to look in his eyes. But now I'm talking about the Father, so I'm looking in the eyes of the Word. Not only am I looking in his eyes, I'm going to grab his hand, his right hand. Because his right hand shows strength, power, and authority. I'm going to step up on him. Because I want to be in his arms. I want to feel his heartbeat. That's the kind of God I serve. Not only do I want to feel his heartbeat, I want him to walk with me. Our feet prints in the sand. That's my God. I want that closeness to him. If I want that closeness to any natural man, I want it more with my Father. Because he's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that provides for me. He's the one that's my strength, my joy. When times are hard, when I'm going through things, because we all go through things. We all have different situations, no matter what it is. He is our strength. So that's who I call on. So I started thinking, this man loved me so much. And I love him just as much that he married me. He married me. He married us. We the church. He's the bridegroom. We connected. He loved me that much. So what did I say about that? I said, let me think about this. This man loved me enough to marry me, take care of me, supply my needs. You know how we do when we get somebody and they take care of us and we're like, I do like him. He taking care of me. He paying my bills. My kids ain't wanting for nothing. I'm good, right? I'm real good. But we shouldn't want him for that reason. That's just automatic when we do what we're supposed to do, and that's love, worship, and praise him, read his word, study his word. He going to take care of our needs. He going to supply all of it. So when we do what we're supposed to do as believers and Christians, he'll do just what he said. He's not going to go back on his promise like man. He's a man that what? Cannot, shall not lie. But we know as humans, we do all the time. Baby, I got you. I got your back. I got you. Don't worry about that rent. I'm going to pay it for you. Next thing you know, it's an eviction notice on the door. Because somebody didn't come through. Somebody lied. But that's how we are as humans. We don't hold up our word. We don't stand on what we say we're going to do. Sometimes we backfall. You know, some of us are good. I ain't chopping down no mans in here now. Y'all some good men. But there are some times when things like that happen. So I started thinking about this man who loved me so much that he gave his life for me. He died. And we hear that probably every Easter. He died for us. But when you think about he died for me, okay, he died for me, for my sins. But what does that really mean? God gave his only, and it's so specific in the Bible, his only begotten son for you and me, for our sins. And yet, we still don't acknowledge or appreciate it because we don't do what we're supposed to do. The world is in such a horrible place because they have stepped out of the presence of God and into the life of Satan. And they have no idea what they're messing with. They have no idea. Y'all heard of those heaven and hell parties? I used to hear people say, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell because that's where it's going on at. That's where the party at. And it's like, really? Come on now. In real life, hell ain't going to be like that. Y'all not gonna have that kind of party. Sorry to disappoint y'all. That ain't the kind of party y'all going to have. So anyway, so in thinking, I'm like, he gave his only begotten son. I'm like, that's kind of deep. His only son. I have one son. And I think I mentioned this to somebody in church, and I thought about that, and I said, to give my son's life as a human being, as a mother, and I'm going to keep it real, to give my only son's life, and I'm going to just say my family. Would I do it? I wouldn't. I'm not even going to lie. Because I know how family is. I've been hurt, disappointed, frustrated, angry, mad. And I would be so mad to give my son's life for somebody who didn't appreciate it. And if you think about that, what would you feel like? Giving your only son, or I'll even say your only child or your only daughter, what would you feel like if you gave their life for people who didn't appreciate it? That would make you mad. Put you on fire, mad. I think about that a lot, and that's what makes me who I am. That's what makes me come up here and worship on Sunday. That's what makes me take over the mic and say things, because I know who I serve. I know what he's done for me. And I try to show my appreciation by giving him his credit, his praise, his honor, because he gave his life for me. And that's serious. He gave his life. You could say that 1,000 times, but until you get it in your spirit, life is breathing. He stopped breathing for us. Not only did he stop breathing, he went through turmoil. They tortured him. And when you begin to read that about his crucifixion, it's heartbreaking to think about your child suffering or something like that. We get upset when we hear our child. Well, I've never had it, praise be to God. But for those who've had children who went to prison, that's hard. For those who've lost children in an accident or for whatever reason, that's hard. It doesn't matter. The lost is hard. Amen? What's his name again? That's what I'm talking about. So I thought about that, and I came up, and I was reading, and I said, I thought about Abraham. Y'all remember the story of Abraham? He had one child, Isaac, him and Sarah, and they were very old. We don't do this anymore, but he was, I think, 100, and she was like 90 when she conceived. Oh, man, can't think about that. Woo, 40 was late enough. But I tell you, I thought about that, and I was like, he was, you know, God wanted him to take his son to the mount. He did it. He took him. He took his child, only child that God had promised them. He took his son, took him to the mount, built the altar, put the wood down, got everything ready. Getting ready to go down on his son. Angel from heaven said, stop. Don't touch that child. You've proven your faith. You've proven the fear that you have of God. That's what we're supposed to have. The faith and the fear of God, knowing that whatever he asks us to do, we're willing to do it. But think about it. Again, if it was your child, would you have taken your child up there? Would you have got your child ready? Probably not. In all honesty, probably not. We love our kids, even though they get on our last nerve. We love y'all. We do. But we still wouldn't give our life, give your life. For other people. I got to tell this story real quick. I'm not going to say it right, but I'm going to try to share it. One of my cousins, we were talking, and she was talking about being afraid of dogs. And when her and her daughter got out the car, when they got out the car, some dogs come chasing. Woo, 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 woo. And she took off running and left her baby outside, right? She left her child running. She told her, come on in. Come on in here. Right? Trying to get the child to come on in, right? Child was running from the dog. I'm trying. So her grandma telling her, you need to go outside and get your baby. She said, I ain't going out there. You need to go get your baby. I ain't going out there. So we were talking about that. And so just jokingly, just to say that, little things like that, running from a dog. She wasn't even going to save her child from a dog. Let no take him to the cross, okay? But, that's life. Y'all still with me? All right. So then I was like, okay, I'm still learning about you, Jesus. He's the promised Messiah. He's anointed. He's the anointed one who brings salvation and established the kingdom of God. I was like, you know how you know what anointed is. But I said, Lord, let me find out. Let me look again under anointing. Because you know how we all say, I'm anointed. I forgot that song, how it go. Anointed something. Y'all, I'm not good with that, but something about anointed. And then we always say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed by God. So I looked it up, and I was like, you know what? Let me see what this is about. So I looked it up, and it says a person chosen by God for a special purpose. Often a leader or a savior. Well, we know what we're talking about. We're talking about the Savior. So I said, okay. Special person. Are you a special person? Are you anointed? Are you chosen by the Father? Are you chosen by you? Are you chosen by somebody else? Think about it. All right. So we go to Jesus is the way to God. He's the only way to God. And he tells us that. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I wrote in my notes, you know how, because I'm not one of those people who are technical like that. I need to write it. I need paper and pencil. So I got in big letters here, no. Big letter no. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, God, let's talk about that. So my connection is through the Son that gave his life. You want to connect with that Son. You want to get that connection. You want that one-on-one so you can go to the Father. Because sometimes I can go, but I can't always go for you. You need to have that for yourself. You need to have your own connection with him. We don't always do that. Sometimes we tell people what our situation or our problem is, and we say, hey, can you pray for me? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you still need to have your own connection. Because, like I said, how close I want to be to him, I want to hold his hand, I want to feel his heartbeat, I want to be able to call him too, myself. Because you're not going to have your friend call your man or your woman call your vice versa. Let me do it like that, vice versa. You're going to do it yourself, right? Y'all with me? All right. Y'all with me? All right. So let's go on. Let's move on down. So I said, Jesus is the way to God. So then Jesus is the King and the Lord. King and Lord are up there in rank. They have power. They have authority. And it says in Philippians 2:9-11, I'm just going to read this. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means you. That means me. That means everybody out there doing their own thing. They still going to have to answer. They still going to have to bow before him. He's the only one that we bow before because nobody else is worthy to bow down to. Sometimes we get in relationships and men, not bashing. But sometimes we get in relationships and men want to take authority and power over us, and they think we're supposed to bow down. No, we don't bow down to no man. We only bow to the Father. That's it. That's it. The buck stops with him. He's a jealous God, and he'll tell you in a heartbeat. That's what the words say. I'm a jealous God. So as I was reading, it says he reigns over the earth and will return. Okay. He's going to reign over the earth and he will return. What does reign mean? So I looked it up. I'm like, okay, I know. You know how you know what reign means? And let me say, y'all, it ain't the rain coming down from the sky rain. It's the reign that he has over us. I'm going to read it. So it says to rule, to govern, or have control and authority over something or someone. So we know that God has power. He reigns. And when I say God, we know him and Jesus have come together. Fully man, fully spirit. Right? So we know that God has all power and he's reigned. He's reigned over us because he governs everything. Even when we think we got things under control, we don't. He's still in control. Even when we want to take control, which we do a lot, we do it a lot. I got this. And then sometimes we get impatient and we don't wait and we mess up. And then we're really sorry, really sorry. But he has control over everything if we just wait, be patient, believe, and ask him, Lord, take over this. Handle this situation. He got you. He got you. And it's, let me see, I have something else here. I have so many notes here, y'all. Y'all don't know. So when I was, so in the midst of that rain, and I was thinking, like, he controls all. He has control over everything, right? So he's in total control, bottom line, over everything, over all things. And then I was like, okay, all things. You know what all is. We know that we pick up everything here. That's everything here, so that's all. So I was like, the whole quantity, the entire, and it's this total amount. And I'm like, okay. Over everything, everybody. We don't have no control. It's all in his hand. But yet, we think we do. We don't. We don't have it. So I had a question for y'all. So if God holds all power, then why is our faith so small? If he holds all power, why don't we believe and trust that he can and he will? Our faith is important. We talk about the faith the size of a mustard seed, how we could tell it a mountain to move and it'll be gone. But sometimes we don't even have that much faith. We don't have enough faith to believe that God has all power, controls everything. He got it. He's God. There's none other like him and never will be. He's over heaven, he's over earth. He's the creator. He is it. God is that. When you say, what's that saying? They say he is that or she is that. No, he is that. He is all that and a bag of chips, okay? All right, so let's see what else we got. So I went to look again, and I said, Jesus is good. Okay, Jesus is a good shepherd and friend. Okay, he's a good shepherd and a friend. He's a shepherd. What does that mean? He's over us. He watches over us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He makes provision for us, even when we don't see it, even when we're not sure, even when we're thinking, Lord, I can't do it no more. I give up. But he says, hey, I'm here. I got you. I'm watching you. I'm making ways for you. You don't have to carry that burden all by yourself. It's too heavy for you. Come to me, and I'll give you some rest. Follow me. Come on. Follow me. I got you. There is nobody else that's going to take care of you like that. And nobody. Excuse me. John 10 and 11 says, I am God. Excuse me, I am the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. We are the sheep, y'all. He laid his life down for us because he loved us that much. He gave his life. He said, you are worthy, and I love you. So because of that, I got you. Just like we do for our kids. We love our kids. We love our family. We love our spouses. We love our parents. And we go out our way to do stuff for them, to help them, to make sure life is easier. That's what he does because he loves us so much. He's never stopped and he never will. We may walk away, but he won't. He won't. He's our friend. He says he's our friend. John 15:15. It says, I have called you friend. So I was like, friend. We use that word so loosely. And we use another word loosely. It's love. Two words. But I said, friend. Okay. A friend is a person whom you share a bond and a mutual affection and trust. Sorry, y'all. I can't read my writing. Affection and trust distinct from your family. So, you know how some of us say, I'm closer to my friends than I am to my family. Because it's real. It's real. Sorry, y'all. I need a drink of water. It is real. A lot of us have a better relationship with our friends than we do with our family. And honestly, that's sad, but it's real. We can talk to our friends and tell them about everything. Girl, let me tell you about last night. Let me tell you about hubby. Let me tell you about these kids. And we'll share that kind of information with them. But we're not going to share it with the family. And we definitely won't take it to God. Because we'll go to a friend before we go to him. We should go to him before we go to a friend. And don't get me wrong, ain't nothing wrong with a friend because everybody need a friend. We need somebody to lay on. We need somebody's shoulder to cry on. And ain't nothing wrong with that. So thank God for friends. All right, y'all. So we're winding it up. So it talks about the crucifixion, which I mentioned, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew, he spoke more about the crucifixion in Matthew 27. So if you want to read it and really get intimate with God, find out about his word, that's the way to go. So in summary of this, the topics of today, the Son of God, our Savior, because this is who Jesus is, our Messiah, our Lord, and our King. He's our friend and our shepherd. And he is the way, the only way.